Blog Talk Radio.
The following is suitable for all audiences. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your loved ones, tell your hated ones, tell even your mortal enemies about this, because this is an event that all of us need to get behind. It is something we are all intimately involved in. We are all part of, every single one of us. This is affecting the entire planet. There's an ongoing pollution and homeless epidemic. It's happening. It's not just happening, it's getting worse every day. Please, get involved. I am DJ Butterfly Feces, and you are listening to Kahuna from the microphone. Now, don't just listen, talk, get involved. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. Everybody out there, I implore you to get behind all this. It's affecting everybody. We need to do something about it. Don't just check me out. Check out a singer by the name of Maya Harrison. Boy, she's around. Boy, she got stories. Has she been doing a lot and whatever? You can check her out on the web. Maya Harrison. She's one busy little bee. All right. Now, if you're just joining us, you're late. Let me tell you, I spent most of my life in McKinleyville, California. Born, raised there, was sure I was going to die, that I was going to be buried there. I was sure of it. I was absolutely sure. Now, you can do anything in McKinleyville. You know, it's a town that has pretty much everything. It's Northern California. It's part of California. You can sled, ski, snowboard, toboggan. We also have a beach there, so you can tan, you can sun yourself, you can surf, you can parasail, windsail, boogie board. We got a lot of trails. You can horseback ride, you can hike, you can ride your bike. I've done all that. I did it all. I did everything there was to do there. I didn't give a lot of real thought to my future, to what I was going to be doing. Didn't give a lot of thought to any of it. I didn't really think about it very much. And the truth is, honestly, I just basically expected to be the guy who was always going to be getting by in life, you know? Lay back, groove. I'll take any job. I'll do anything as long as I can sit back there and enjoy the pleasure of life. I really didn't give much thought. I didn't give a lot of thought to my future. I just want to keep doing this. Thought I'll do anything, any job, whatever, as long as it pays the bills, knock them out, I can indulge myself in everything McKinleyville had to offer. I knew everybody, and everybody knew me. We sat back and we grooved. I was the kind of guy who didn't really try very hard in life. I was a C average student. I didn't really try to go reach for that brass ring, you know? Didn't think much about it. I didn't really think very much to it. Because the way I saw it, what did I need big accomplishment for? That was my big thing. I wasn't a bad guy. I just lacked ambition, you know? Sat back and joined the world and whatever. Then finally, and I mean finally, it came back. It came around. Finally, I left high school. Now prepared to face the world. You know what I'm talking about, the world. Now, I thought a lot about this. I guess I finally did. I started to think, now what am I going to do? But I can get any job as long as I can be a citizen in McKinleyville. There weren't jobs available. There weren't homes available. There weren't places a lot of vacant for people to live and move into. You got to understand, McKinleyville has so much going on. that the truth is most people just want to say. We got a high crime problem too, but that's the thing. When a town is paradise, everybody's trying to get in on it. It's all paradise. It's the land. The streets are paved with gold. Everybody's trying to get in there. And before you know it, they screw up paradise. That's what happened to me. Dang. I stay with my parents. I don't know. I was just thinking so much, really, personally, about what I was going to do now. Because I started looking for any available job. There were none. And I stayed. You know, this radio show isn't the only time I've had a radio show. Before, back when I was with my parents, I got a Blog Talk radio show. A buddy of mine told me all about it, you know, hooked me into it, and, you know. And I did things like this, you know. I think the radio is an important genre, okay? Now, for a while, it was used basically just to play records, music. But then, basically, it became the communication. I mean, here's how you broadcast anything and everything throughout the world. Now, let me tell you. I was basically one of those soapbox guys. I was one of those guys who was saying, you know what's wrong with the world today? The world would be a better place if we just, you know, one of those. I made a lot of points. It's just that I don't think anybody was listening. I mean, I told my buddies to listen. I told them to listen to me, you know. I told them to. And what happened was, I'm sure they didn't even want to be bothered. I don't even think they knew how. It's like, how do you listen? I'm on this show, again with a show, after all this time. I still don't know how this radio show works, how you listen, how you tune in. It's not like a regular radio, you know, where you basically just, you know, hit the on button, you know, you flip the dial, whatever, turn the sound up, whatever, like on a car radio or on a home radio or your alarm clock or whatever. It's not like that. You know what I'm talking about. The truth is, I got into this thing. I didn't understand anything about it. I've learned a bit, mind you, but I still don't know how this exactly works. Still don't know how people, how many listen to blog, internet, radio. But whatever. Anywho, I was there for a little while until the free account expired and they wanted me to start paying for it. Yeah, I was just bumming radio. You know how that is. You understand. Anywho, see, I basically started just to sit back and do nothing. I mean, I indulged myself in all the pleasures that McKinleyville had to offer. I basically started to, you know, just take it all in. In a way, I was going nowhere. My parents were sick of having me around. My parents were sick of me. Now, you got to understand something. Truth is, I don't know. I gotta be honest with you. I gotta say this much. My parents were sick of the sight of the sound of each other. They let me stay as long as they did, not because of my parents, but because, and this is the important part, otherwise, without me, they'd have to talk to each other. And they didn't want to do that. My parents were two people who got together as a last resort, who basically just needed somebody to marry. Someone will do. He needed basically just some kind of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? They needed some life partner. Some people do that, you know. You want to get married. You want to have a spouse. You sign up with anybody. And that's what my parents had for the longest time. They didn't have the energy to leave and find without me around. They have to talk to each other. But that didn't mean they wanted me around forever. My father said, "You got to go. Not even paying bills here." And it's true. It was true. Anywho, they kicked me out around the holidays. Now all you and Mom are going to have is each other. What happened was, I remember, until right around the holidays, I left, which was the clothes on my back and a backpack that wasn't even half full. And I walked out. Now, there I was. I left the house. I didn't even look back. I looked back for a second. Not because I'd missed them so much. I remember thinking, "Dear God, I'm on the street now. I haven't found a place. I'm on the street." Now, when you're first thrown out on the street, it doesn't quite sink in like you're now officially one of the homeless. You're still kind of in shock. You think maybe things will pick up, you know? You never think, like, "Dear God," you know. But sure enough, there I was, on the street. I basically remember walking up the trail, Hammond Trail, you know. Passed by the waterfall that we had. It's so beautiful. Got to tell you, McKinleyville, it's a beautiful place. And there I came across some other people that didn't have quite a conventional roof over their heads. A whole bunch of guys who were sitting around there camping by the site, cooking outdoors, all that jazz. I introduced myself. "Hello, I'm not going to give you my name on the air." But one of them was a big, huge kind of guy who went by the name, his name was Comedy Organic OK. There he was, there he and his friends were, and they were cooking. They were eating whatever. And one of them told me that he was a man who had material possessions. But at the moment, he didn't have a place to live. He was posting, going around all over the world, picking up garbage and helping the homeless get off the streets. He did. It's a real thing. And they asked me if I wanted to join him. Do I want to help save lives? And there I was. He dubbed me DJ Butterfly Feces. I disliked the name, just like I do now. It wasn't fun, but he told me the story. He told me the story. "Now, look, it was like this, okay? No, hear me out," he said. "Now, everybody knows how the caterpillar spins a little cocoon, goes inside his little workshop, and emerges a beautiful butterfly. Not just because that's how the beautiful butterfly comes to be, but that's a metaphor for life in there. You've got to go into a workshop, work hard, and come out the other side, you know." People don't realize that the fertilizer, the manure, the butterfly drops, emerges. Life grows from it. That's a thing. I said, "I didn't like the name, but so many good names have basically, I guess they're all kind of taken that, you know, you wasn't going to grab something. Sometimes you come up, think about all the dumb names that exist just because, you know, everything good is gone." It's 4:15 here on the program. Kakuna from the microphone here with DJ Butterfly Feces, the one and only, accept no substitutions. We're all getting into it, okay? We're here. We're here at 1-515-605-9709. That's 1-515-605-9709. This show is brought to you by Kamin Organic, okay? And you can basically check out all he's about on Blog Talk Radio, on Twitter, all on the net. And check out the singer Maya Harrison. She's going around creating magic. Anywho, in our latest episode, we basically were in a different place. I asked him, where to now? He's like, dude, why do you keep doing that? Keep asking me, are we there yet? Where are we going? Where are we going? Like a little kid. Man, I want to know. I want to be prepared. Okay, we're going to a place in California, you know, your state. Sherman Oak. I remember thinking, Sherman Oak? Sherman Oak? Now, we've been to all these places, you understand. So we've been to all kinds of places, you know. We've been to New York. We've been to Chicago. We had been to Seattle. I still think, basically, McKinley, that was the best place of all. But I got to say something right here, right now, and I mean this with every fiber of my passion. Now, I never heard anything about Sherman Oak. I mean, I know this homeless problem is everywhere. We got to go to every city, whatever, but I wasn't excited when I heard Sherman Oak. He said, it's in San Fernando Valley. Now, that raised an eyebrow, because the truth is, I had heard that San Fernando Valley was just a beautiful place, very warm and very sunny. Interesting. Sherman Oak. So we got there. Yes, it was beautiful. Whatever. But once again, see, it was like any other city we went to. We stopped a moment to look at how beautiful the city was, very briefly, in passing. Whatever, and then we went straight to where there was garbage thrown on the streets and where there were all these tents after tents of all these homeless people. It was beautiful. But once again, there was some garbage to be picked up. The garbage wasn't as bad as basically all these other cities that we had been to. It wasn't as bad. It wasn't as terrible at all. It was a little easier. But once again, there were people on the street. I stopped to say hello to them. Some of them really seemed to be nervous, afraid of me. Oh, they were all courageous enough to ask me for money. But at the same time, they seemed to be so afraid that someone like me was approaching them. I talked about getting them off the street. I said, how long have you been out here? How long have you been on the street? And they told me longer than they care to admit. Guy said, a little over a year. One woman told me the story about how she was living with a very abusive man. Very abusive. He used to knock her around. He used to neglect her. He would have these spouts of rage, but then, you know, self-pity. And the truth is, the guy was paying for everything. You know, he paid for her home. Like, she didn't want to leave. She always could. But she didn't have any other options. She had really bad parents, whatever, and, you know, she wanted to leave them herself. She wanted to leave. Where'd you go? Finding a place, maintaining it, walking the line. Everything is so dang hard. No wonder so many people fall off and wind up on the street homeless, jobless, without means. It's no wonder. It's such a dang I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that long pause right there. I don't mean to give you dead air. I just can't, for instance, find the right word for that. I talked to her. I said, "Don't you have anywhere you can stay?" She said, yeah, I have plenty of places. That's why I'm on the street right now, because I have all these places. I don't think. I was embarrassed. I knew not to just ask Organic to take her in, to invite her in and all that, you know, because once again, he has basically invited quite a few people to join us, whatever, but we can't just go to every city and ask every single homeless person, will you join us on the street? Having Organic take them all in, having them work for him, that's asking too much. It was such a thing. It was such a dang thing. So what happened was, I remember basically just saying, "Look, maybe we can come with us. We'll help you find a place and whatever, you know." There are great things about Sherman Oaks, aren't there? She said, "Yeah, it's a beautiful city. At the same time, we don't have a high crime rate." You know, that's something you can't say about McKinleyville. We got everything else. We got a high crime rate too. You know, crime here is really low. I asked her to come with me and just tell me her whole story. She told me. She told me how she basically loved this man, but then she fell out of love with him. But she stayed with him because she couldn't necessarily go out there and make enough money to maintain her own place. It seems like even those low-end jobs, whatever, aren't available anymore. That's for that high-end, high-demand stuff that requires a special degree to do whatever. More and more and more people are doing that. So it's getting crowded at the top. What would she do? What would you do? I asked her if she basically was one of those people who was seeing somebody on the street. You know, making, being all boyfriend, girlfriend. I mean, I met some of the homeless people. I met some couples were, like, together. They couldn't shack up, if you will. They didn't have a shack, but they stayed together. They looked out for each other. They were a couple on the street. She told me no. She said she was too afraid to get another relationship again after that. The guy she stayed with, at first she was in love and too afraid to admit she made a mistake with him. And at the same time, then she couldn't leave because she couldn't take care of herself. Now she wants to prove she can. She's a bitch out of getting into a relationship again. I mean, people on the street. Do people on the street look out for one another? I like to think they sort of do. But at the same time, they're cutting each other down. They're as competitive against each other as anything else. It's a fact. I said, "It's okay. I'm here for you. You have a friend. Just tell me what's going on with you. What is it you need? What is it you're dying for? What is it you feel like you do without?" She looked at me and she said, "I want to have my own place and my own job, and it doesn't look like it's ever going to happen for me. I just want to prove I can do it myself. Maybe the next guy will treat me right, but the thing is, I want to prove I don't need anybody." We all need somebody sometimes, even her, even loners. People who basically live alone need some kind of companionship, some kind of social connection. It's a thing. You have it, you know. I basically took her over to the nearest homeless shelter in Sherman Oaks. I wanted to take a little while just to stop. I asked her to show me around, show me the city. She basically gave me a bit of a tour. told me what she knew about this city and how much she had to be homeless anywhere. She was happy to have it here. A San Fernando Valley location. It was beautiful. It's nice to at least be homeless in a nice place, isn't it? A nice, a good environment. That's something. It basically, there's some kind of love. Some kind of love there. I basically, I walked all around with them and then finally took a homeless shelter, and I pleaded the case. I pleaded the case of what we were trying to do here, what we'd been doing, what we were about. And I told this person that this woman, she'll work very hard, but she should have a place. She needs a place to stay herself, whatever. I'm just glad that the woman agreed to it, you know. I mean, they agreed to take her in for a while and help her get a job, and I was proud of myself. I was especially proud. I didn't invite her to stay with organic, you know, with the rest. Because I didn't just give her a handout. I helped her. All things considered, I'd say they went well, honestly. I basically just wanted to help, and, you know, we're helping. Sherman Oaks, you know, I think this place needs some kind of national monument or something. It needs something special to you know, rake people in. To basically, you know, even Idaho has potatoes. Sherman Oaks needs something special. Thought about that. Some big event should happen here so people take notice of this town. Maybe they might open a few more homeless shelters. It might be a little bit more of a tourist trip if it had something special to grab people. Something. Something. But, of course, what would that be? Anywho, I basically sat around there thinking, help one person. I need to check in on her, you know, just see how she's doing. She's doing well. As I broadcast this, I'll tell you one thing. She's got her own place now, and she has her own job. She's not dependent on anybody. I suggested to her, over in Sherman Oaks, you guys need a gimmick, something to draw people in, something special. Work on it, you know. Have a guy who landed on the moon live there or something. I want to thank you all for tuning in. You personally, Livingston, tuning in to Cocooning from the Microphone here with DJ Butterfly PCs. You can pick up all our shows off the net. Tune in tonight for our 7 o'clock program. Basically, wait to see what happens in the next city. Once again, important things. Thank you, and good night.